Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:26 British Summer Time. Today is July 10th. Today was pretty mixed on stock markets. The majority of the major markets in Asia were in negative territory. The Nikkei was down about 0.4%. The Hang Seng was reasonably unchanged. The ASX was down about 0.5%. The ASEAN region did substantially better. The Philippines has had that downward dynamic yesterday. It was a little bit weaker today, but Malaysia, Indonesia, Thailand, and Singapore were really all in positive territory and continue to look quite constructive. The European scenario was relatively positive, with most markets in positive territory. The Dutch market was up by over 1.3%, but most of the others were up by less than 1%. As trading got underway on Wall Street, we saw a brief rally for US markets, but they gave that up and they're now in negative territory following the close. And the Dow Jones was down about 0.2%, the S&P by about 0.8%, and the Nasdaq Composite down about 1%. The Brazilian market was down 3%. That has pulled back sharply and does look like it's going to retest its lows. The commodity complex were a bit weaker in here today. Silver was down 64 cents, having been as high as 27.58 in early trading. It closed out today at 26.80. Then gold was down almost $20. It has had this characteristic over the last few months where it has pulled back and tested this region of $1,550 and then posted very large upward dynamics. And it does look like that this 1550 area is going to be retested in here. It's only $17 away from it as I speak. The oil price was also down by about $2 today. It's closing out the day close to $84. And natural gas, having touched the $3 area late last week and then posted a very large key reversal, has pulled back a bit more in here today. It's down 13 cents at $2.74. Provided the progression of higher reaction lows remains intact for natural gas, then the recovery scenario over the medium term can continue to be given credence. But it does look like that higher low in the region of $2.20 is probably going to be tested during the current pullback. Sovereign bonds were relatively steady. U.S. Treasuries hold above 150. They're closer to 151. European Eurobonds were relatively unchanged in here today, but they've had a very impressive bounce from 140 up to 144 over the last week into maybe 2 weeks. In the currency markets, the euro was weak against the US dollar in here today. Was down 63 ticks. It's right down on the lows. When one looks at the dollar index has been ranging for the last 7 weeks, but it's right up there at the upper side of its range. It's at least partially unwound the overbought condition relative to the 200-day moving average, and a clear downward dynamic would now be required to check potential for a successful upward break by the index. Since the dollar index is primarily euro, it would really require a substantial rally by the euro to really check potential for an extension of the recent decline. That's probably where the most action has been in the currency markets. The Aussie dollar is relatively unchanged. The Canadian dollar is also relatively unchanged. The Spanish government bond yields, having been above 7% for the last couple of days, pulled back a little bit in here as some of the anxiety about the fate of that market eased somewhat with the agreement on the next tranche, or quite a large tranche of the money that's going to be pumped into the Spanish banking sector being released, or at least agreed upon. we remain in this environment where we had a very positive trading environment for the majority of risk assets all the way through June. Short-term overbought conditions became evident on a number of stock markets, and we're now seeing an unwind of that short-term overbought condition. Provided the June lows hold, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. When we look at some of the most consistent trends, then we are beginning to see a little bit of deterioration. IBM, for example, was really quite weak in here today. It's right in the region of its 200-day moving average. If it is going to remain broadly consistent, then it is going to have to find support soon. And an upward dynamic would certainly be confidence-inspiring from its current level. But then when one looks at something like Apple, then Apple has got substantial room in which to continue to consolidate and still remain above its 200-day moving average. We can only deal with the reality that the markets provide, and this remains an uncertain environment from the perspective of most people. When we look at the macro level, we're seeing that the Chinese are more likely than not to continue on their policy of easing. The ECB, the ESM, the European Commission, are more than likely going to continue to make liquidity available to the banking sector, and one certainly can't rule out additional stimulative measures for the Eurozone. Over the last 3 years, the markets have become addicted to liquidity infusions. We have tended to have these deeper pullbacks, which have been followed by a period of consolidation until that liquidity spigot gets opened up again, and then we move into these very impressive rallies. It is confidence-inspiring that the ASEAN region is a relative strength performer following a period of uncertainty, and the fact that oil prices have become weak once more and that they've pulled back considerably removes a headwind from the global economy. That is not to say that there are not significant challenges. There most certainly are. The very fact that there are such non-trivial challenges for the global economy does suggest that we can anticipate that there will be additional infusions of liquidity. That is what is likely to be required to ensure that the medium-term uptrend or upside potential for the majority of stock markets will be fulfilled. In the very short term, it really is about whether these June lows hold on the current pullback. And so far, what we continue to see on the majority of stock markets has been an unwind of a short-term overbought condition. Now, in the precious metals, particularly gold, is at a very interesting juncture because it's been ranging here above $1,500 for the last few months. It bounced emphatically from this region in September and in December. It spent a bit more time down here this time. There is evidence of bullish trampolining in that the upward dynamics of these levels have been considerably larger than the downward dynamics, but it does need to continue to find support in this region. When we look at silver, then silver is also down there on its near its lows and will need to find support pretty quick. And it's a similar story for both platinum and palladium. The industrial metal complex has been really quite weak as perceptions of global GDP growth have continued to deteriorate, but these metals are also in areas of potential support. What we need to see from a bullish perspective is for them to put in progressions of higher reaction lows. The grain and bean complex was a bit weaker in here today, but not in a dynamic fashion. Wheat was down 7, corn was down 12.5, and soybeans was down 9.25. Compared to the advances that they've put in over the last couple of weeks, those are pretty trivial amounts. But the higher that these prices go, the greater the potential is that they're going to snap back again. The chances are that when this momentum move ends, it will do so with a limit move to the downside, and that is likely to cap the advance for at least the short term. Elsewhere in the soft commodities sector, coffee, sugar, and cocoa have rallied really rather impressively over the last couple of weeks. Coffee in particular has been a relative strength leader, but both cocoa and sugar have looked constructive. They were both a bit weaker in here today, but not in a dynamic fashion, and they look more likely than not to be able to sustain breakouts from their current areas. So while there is a very anxious environment among the majority of investors, that is not to say that there aren't opportunities out there. I posted a large number of biotech charts in here today, and one of the, I think, the probably the most important factor is that they have tended to perform in a non-correlated fashion with the rest of the stock market, and it does suggest that the sentiment that is animating that market is very much a growth story and isn't particularly influenced by the perceptions of GDP growth that are troubling a number of other asset classes. I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.